you turn there, I'll read it. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The life we're in certainly isn't much of a picnic. It's a battle. We can go through seasons of life where we feel attack comes at us from every angle. But it's a battle that we're involved in, if we like it or not. The Christian life, it isn't a passive one, but it's an active one. We don't get the choice of taking up our cross or taking up our armchair. It's taking up our cross every day. By the way, thank you to Dan for handing out these notes. By the way, you don't need to use them, but they're just there as a helpful aid if it's helpful for following along. We don't get the choice of being Christian soldiers or Christian civilians. Although I think many of us would quite like to have just a Christian civilian life. To be a Christian is to be a soldier. And so that means we need to have the right kit for this battle. And again, it's not a case of one day deciding if we'll wear it or not. We don't get just to leave it hanging in the cupboards, but it's one that we desperately need every single day. Last week, Jonathan, as he opened up the series for us, he reminded us of who we're in this battle against. It's not the cartoon devil that is so often portrayed as being comical, but it's against the one who is the deceiver, the liar, the one who desires to bring destruction, not life. We need the armor every day. We need Jesus every day, because every day the evil one is on the attack. But the good news is that we're not invited to stand in our own might, but we're invited to stand in the power of God. This is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and we are invited to stand firm in his power. And in many senses, I don't think we get to decide if we wear this or not. But I think we get to decide, do we fully trust in him and trust in what he has given? It is Jesus who does the saving work. It is Jesus who does the work through his Spirit of sanctifying us, of changing us. And so we have this kit, if we like it or not. It's great news. We get this gift. But I think we get to decide, how much are we trusting in it? How much are we leaning into this armor that he has given us? Again, last week, Jonathan spoke about the belt of truth, the armory that holds all things together, puts it on first. And now we're going to get to look at the next piece of the armor that we're given, and it's the breastplate of righteousness. So let's dive into this piece of armor. But before we do that, we're going to look at what does it mean to have imputed righteousness. Righteous is a characteristic of God. He is perfect in justice. He is perfect in his faithfulness. He is perfect in integrity. God's actions are always right. Always right, all of the time. But what about us? A few weeks ago, before term ended, myself and Rachel, we were at parents' evening. And we get a little bit of a summation of how the kids have done in that time. And I can't remember which child it was. The teacher was telling us about math problems and how they wanted the children to do the math problems. There's some teachers in the room, and so you'll understand this. But what they wanted to do, I can't remember if it was Zoe or Rory, but what they wanted them to do was to clearly show all of the workings they did to get to the final answer. Wherever child it was saw the problem and was going to the answer very quickly before working out all the points. But the teacher was saying it's really important to do all the steps because you get points for those steps. And so if there's five steps to it and you get four of them right, but one of them wrong, you get the final answer wrong, you will get 4 points. And so it's like this balance of you get more right than you get wrong. It's not the way that righteousness works of us before God. Consider if we somehow miraculously, and I mean this miraculously, only sinned once per day. I think if that was the case, we'd probably feel quite pleased with ourselves. We'd maybe even give ourselves a pat on the back and a merit badge. We might think, oh, the righteous acts are here, the sinful acts are down here. But maybe that's you. But with that one, even with that just one, that means that we are not righteous. If it does just once a day, but what if you somehow managed to go through your whole life and only sinned once? What a miracle that would be. If you had all these righteous acts but this one, would you be righteous? No, you wouldn't be. We would not be righteous. This is not a totaling points of righteous acts versus sinful acts. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the consequences of that are clear. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That one time, even if it was just the one time in an 80, 90 year life, that would mean that we are deserved of this sentence of death. So we have God who is righteous, who is perfect in every way, and we have us, humans, his creation, and we are not righteous. This is what God did. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How incredible is that? God stripped Jesus of his righteousness. That is Jesus' perfect obedience to God. His perfect faithfulness to God, his perfect justice, his perfect steadfastness, even in times of temptation, that was stripped from Jesus, that was taken off him, and our sin was placed on him. And he was treated as guilty. Not because of what he had done, but because of what we have done. So in this moment, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, there are two things that are happening here. The first, the innocent, Jesus, is treated as guilty. And the second thing, the guilty, that's us, we are treated as innocent. In God's grace, in his kindness, God doesn't count against us all our sins. He counts for us the righteousness. He counts for us the obedience, the faithfulness of Jesus. That's what Romans 5:19 says. By the one man's obedience, that's Christ, the many will be made righteous. What a miracle of grace that is. The unmerited gift of salvation that comes through faith when we believe in Jesus Christ. When we see what is happening, of the innocent be made guilty, and of the guilty be made innocent, how can our eyes not just be full of the wonder of that glorious gift? That in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, that we are seen as saints and not as sinners through the blood of Christ. That is imputed righteousness. the innocent being treated as guilty, and then the guilty being treated as innocent. And so the first thing with the breastplate of righteousness does, it reminds us that we're no longer under the condemnation of God, but have had the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. The wages of sin is death. That is what we deserve. We deserve that separation from a holy God. But there is this unmerited swap deal that happens. And as you read on in that verse from Romans, it says, the free gift of God is eternal life. How amazing is that? How undeserving are we of that? But in his kindness, that's what he gives. And all we need to do is trust. We put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But the devil will look to attack this. And throughout the next few minutes, we're going to look at three different lies of the devil. And so the deceiver will come in. This is the first lie. The deceiver will come in and suggest that God could not love us because we're such a mess. It's the first lie that we're going to look at of the devil. The devil looks to poke us when we're feeling down. He wants us to stay in a place of shame. He wants us to feel like we're constantly disappointing our Heavenly Father. He wants us to think that God doesn't want to forgive us. And when he does forgive us, he wants us to think that it's through clenched teeth and reluctance. And friends, that is not true. Christ died for us whilst we were distant. He died for us whilst we were enemies, whilst we were far off. He chose us at that time. And now that we are part of his family, now that we are his adopted children, is that going to change? Does his love change for us at that point? No, it doesn't. He forgave us at the cross and he continues to forgive us. The breastplate, it protects vital organs. It protects predominantly the heart and lungs as a soldier would wear it. And so today we often think of the heart as the place of feelings, but 2,000 years ago the heart was thought of as much more central, as much more of the core of a person where thoughts came from and where decisions were made. And so the breastplate of righteousness, it guards our hearts from the lies of the devil, lies that undermine our confidence in God and in his kindness and in his grace. This is Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 19. It says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. As you wear the breastplate of righteousness, swat away this lie of the devil and rest in the love and the grace of Jesus. Rest in his righteousness. Rest that you are seen through Jesus, through his blood, through his sacrifice. As you wear it, remember what Jesus did on the cross because of his love for you and for the glory of God. So we've seen the imputed righteousness and how the breastplate protects us against lies from the devil. But this armor does more than that. It's not just a defensive piece of armor. It's also an offensive piece of armor. Last week we learned about the belt of truth, but part of today's message is don't just believe the truth, live out the truth. We can know so many things, can't we? We can know it in our heads, but we need to be able to put it into practice as well, don't we? Head knowledge, if it doesn't come out, what's the point of just keeping in here? We get to live out the truth that we find in Scripture. So the breastplate of righteousness fuels a righteous way of living. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we are enabled to know right from wrong. We see it in his words. When something comes across our path, we can just know in our guts that something just isn't right. It's the Spirit of God helping us, guarding us, guiding us, and where needed, convicting us. He enables us to understand what is righteous, to understand what a holy life looks like, and then to live it out. So part of righteous living, I think there's two parts to it here, is putting some things to death whilst at the same time choosing to put something else on, something that is good, something that is of God's ways. In Colossians 3, it gives us this a bit of a practical of what this looks like, but there's other passages in Scripture as well. In Colossians 3, 5-9, this is what we're called to put to death. It says sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. We're called to put these things to death because they're not a righteous way of living. And at the same time, we're called to put things on. And so Colossians 3, 12-13 speaks about putting on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The breastplate of righteousness, fueled by faith in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, enables us to courageously step onto a battlefield each day and choose the good ways of God when all around us celebrates the things of death. We know surrounding, you can see it in your workplace, maybe see it in your communities, of the ways of God, His righteous ways. They are not the celebrated ways. But we are called to stand firm in His might. We're called to be His holy people, shining bright in the darkness. In obedience, what do you need to put to death? In obedience, what do you need to put on? I don't know what all your battlegrounds are like today. I don't know what they might be like tomorrow. Maybe you face the day just being really concerned of this battlefield is difficult. It's difficult to put to death the things of this world. It's difficult to put on the ways of Christ. And it's good news. Rest in His grace. Allow the Spirit. We go through with open hands and God, teach me, mold me, transform me to become more like Your Son. And again in that, we're going to see there's two more lies of the devil. The second lie we'll look at here is that he will look to convince you that choosing righteousness, choosing obedience will ruin your life. The devil comes alongside us in difficult moments and will offer another way, a way that is not obedience. He'll say that choosing obedience is going to make your life so much harder. Choosing his ways is just easier. If you choose his ways, if you choose the ways of the world, then you won't experience so much pain in this life. If you choose his ways, you can avoid harm. Maybe even protect your life. I think on our brothers and sisters in Christ in different places around the world where they just get so much persecution for standing firm. But do we see them choosing the ways of this world, or do you see them standing firm in Christ? So often we hear stories of them standing firm in Christ and not choosing the easy path. Obedience to Christ will never ruin your life. Obedience to Christ, it probably is going to be costly. It may cost you financially. It may cost you some friends. And maybe that will even cost you your life. But friends, it will never ruin your life. Obedience will never make your life meaningless. It will never make it worthless. It will never make it joyless or regretful. Obedience will never ruin your life. The devil wants to twist that. He's going to say, oh, choose the easy way. Why are you choosing this? He's saying. Last week, some of you may have seen the story of Kate Forbes. It was in the news. She spoke at some event. And you'll remember maybe 2-3 years ago, she campaigned to be Scotland's first minister. So she appeared to be the front runner until a point came where she needed to publicly declare her views on marriage and gender. And so Kate Forbes is a Christian, someone who has walked with Christ for many years. And so she made clear her Christian views on that. And in an interview about the team that surrounded her, this is what she said when it came to this issue. All these wonderfully committed team members who wanted me to win had great advice. Just lie and you'll be fine. Kate Forbes did not lie. And when she stayed faithful to the word of God, the backlash was instant and it was fervent. And she went on to narrowly lose the vote. But her take on it was refreshing. This is what she said in an interview last week. The end result felt like a victory because during that period, I thought I had not given in when I could have. It's so easy for us just to give in, isn't it? It just seems easier. But we're not called to that. We're called to a righteous, holy way of living. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Valiant stands of obedience when a lie may seem easier is not in vain. Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Valiant stands are blessed. We're part of the upside down kingdom, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, the devil will look to distract us from our purpose. Our purpose here is not to have an easier life. Our purpose here is not just to fit in with the crowd. Our purpose here, every day, every moment, is to give glory to a holy God who has saved us when we do not deserve it. Will we choose that? The devil doesn't want us to think about that being the purpose of our lives. He whispers to us that if you choose my ways, you can have comfort, you can have enjoyment, you can have leisure, you can have some finances, you can maybe have some more control. But our purpose is not to have those things. Our purpose is to give God the glory, even when it is difficult. Even when it's difficult. And I understand that many people in this room face difficult moments. Will we choose obedience? Obedience will not ruin your life. As I was preparing this, this felt like the big point I felt for us. Obedience will not ruin your life. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Obedience may cost you everything, but it will never ruin your life. You are safe in the arms of Christ. You will be safe in his everlasting arms forevermore. And the last lie that we're going to look at is the way that the devil looked to minimize the destructive power of sin. You see, okay then, if Jesus' blood covers all, if you are then clothed in his righteousness, then sin really doesn't matter, does it? You'll plant seeds of doubt about the call we have to be God's obedient, righteous, holy people. He'll whisper into your ear that you can do anything you want. You can do all the things that your heart secretly desires because, well, you know, they're all covered by Jesus. The lie is, if God gives grace to his sinners, then why not sin more to receive more grace? The dangerous lie of the devil. This is what we find in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? To deliberately choose to remain in habitual sin is cheapening the cross of Christ and the death that he died on our behalf. Some of you have read some stuff from Bonhoeffer in the past. He calls this cheap grace. Paul is affronted by the mere suggestion of it and reminds the church in Rome that once they were dead in sin and now they are dead to sin. If we have died to sin, then we should not live in it any longer. We are new creations, walking in the newness of life with new desires set upon giving our Savior all the glory. When the accuser, when he comes in to minimize sin, when he's saying, it's okay, Jesus got covered. Now, in one sense, yeah, Jesus has covered it all. It's in his grace and in his mercy he does that. But let's not cheapen what Jesus has done. Let's choose a life of worship in response to how he has first loved us. Let's not cheapen the work of Jesus. But let us long in our purpose to give him glory by being obedient to his words and to his ways. This is the breastplate of righteousness. It continually reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ and the new life that we have. It aids us as we go on to the battlefield each day to courageously choose the ways of Jesus when all around us tell us to act selfishly, to take shortcuts, and just to forget about obedience. The breastplate of righteousness protects us from the lies of the devil. God is a loving God who is faithful to his own. Obedience will not ruin your life. Obedience is worship. We wear the breastplate every day as we march into battle, not as civilians, but as soldiers, trusting in the righteousness of Christ. Thankful for the righteousness of Christ and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. As we go out from this place, would we know of the armor that we have? Let's pray. Jesus, we come with hearts that are so full of gratitude. Thank you for saving us. Jesus, thank you for going to that cross. You obediently went to the cross. And there you took on all of our sin, our guilt, and our shame. You took that on yourself and died the death that we deserve. And at the same time, your innocence, your obedience, your righteousness was transferred to us so that we can be seen as clean, seen as righteous. So Jesus, we thank you to receive that gift. It seems so simple, almost too simple, that we just need to put our trust in you. And so we put our trust in you again, afresh this morning. And Lord, we live in response to that, in response to what you did on Calvary, where you died and then you rose again. Father, help us to be obedient to all of your ways. Would we not be people who pick and choose the things from your word, but would we be obedient to all that you have asked of us, Lord? Because your ways are good. We maybe don't understand them all, but they are good. We trust in you. You are good all the time. So do we choose your ways, knowing that obedience will not ruin our life, but obedience will give you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.